When you see a multi-million dollar yacht or sailboat cross the Ballard Locks or docked in our waters, you're looking at jobs. Jobs for local people who make and maintain those boats. Novelist Jim Lynch's latest book explores what it's like to love the water and boats. It's called Before the Wind. Jim, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And to me, I haven't spent that much time on the water, but to me, it really captures some of the allure of it. And in fact, there's a section of the book where the mother of the Johansson clan, which is the focus of this book, answers the question, why do we feel so good out here on the water? And I wanted to begin with having you read that section.
Okay, sure. Mother loved these sorts of questions. Why do we laugh when something is funny? Why do we dream of flying? Well, it's the same feeling we get when we walk along the ocean, isn't it? She began, indirectly, as usual. It's that ionic lift from salty water, sure, but it's more than that, isn't it? We were all saying yes and nodding and listening hard in case she put her finger on something revelatory. And it's even more powerful when you're out on the water all day because the rise and fall of the ocean connects you to the sun and the moon, right? With her eyes squeezed shut, we knew not to rush her. That alone might make us feel good. But let's not forget we live on a planet that's mostly water, and so are we, right? We were too tired to respond. Sure, whatever, yes. And we know all of life began in salty water, so maybe the reason we feel like we're glowing or buzzing at times like these is that when we're out here, every cell in our body is saying, Mama! After a thoughtful lull, Ruby broke the silence by shouting, Mama!
you sail. Yes. How much of that is kind of your reflections on what the experience is and why it's so wonderful?
Well, kind of the seed for this novel in the first place was my desire to try to explain what it's like to sail.
So that's how you describe the sensation of being on the water and why it might be so mystical. How would you describe it personally? How do you feel when you're sailing?
Well, for me, it kind of connects me to my childhood. Is one of my first reflexes. I think part of it was that when I was a kid, my dad was always in the best mood when we were on water. And so I think that was kind of the first communication to me that this was, you know, something to be revered. And it just kind of stuck with me. I like the challenge of it, and I love the lulls too. I was so happy when I was researching the book to find out that Albert Einstein was a lifelong sailor, loved to sail, and there aren't that many written words about actually, you know, what kind of sailor he was and so on. But I pored over everything there was, and it appeared that he particularly liked to be out in lulls when there was no wind and he could drift around and scribble down his ideas. And the fact that he also just loved it as the ultimate escape, you know, that back then without cell phones, of course, that he could get away from his students and his peers and the media and his family and just think.
Did you write any of Before the Wind or scribble notes for it while you were sailing?
Well, I'm usually somewhat in charge of the sailing, but I wrote a lot on the boat. And I actually ended up the final draft of this novel I wrote using my boat as an office. I would get up in the morning, I would go down to the marina, and I'd crawl on board. And nobody knew I was there. I didn't have Wi-Fi. And then I had the smell and the atmosphere of a sailboat. And that's actually when it all started to take off for me. There's a certain moment whenever I'm writing a book where I keep waiting for it to finally lift off and for the characters to feel as real as my friends and family. And that's where it happened, was actually on the boat, which all made me feel justified in buying the boat, of course.
Well, there's the beauty and the allure of sailing. And then there's the gritty reality of building and maintaining sailboats. You write that running a boatyard is like running a dementia clinic. How so?
The point I was getting at is just that I watched all these guys that work in boatyards, men and women, and they're constantly having to counsel the boat owners and make them feel all right about the fact that they're spending far more on their boat than they can afford, or that they basically should give up on this boat and go find another boat. But there's all this kind of delusion that boat owners have about their boats. They get so attached to them that they fail to realize that their boat is ordinary or worse or needs a lot of work. They get a very sentimental relationship to the boat, and it often it's like telling somebody that you need to put their dog down, you know? it's an unusual.
But even the experienced sailors who know better and maybe don't have more money than they have intelligence about it, which some of the novices experience, they have this love affair with their boats.
Right. Well, I grew up the the son of a father who had love affairs with boats. And we used to walk the docks down around Shilshil and all, and he told me what gorgeous sailboats were. You know, and he had all the drawings at home. He was considering making them and so on. So I had a role model on kind of the sailing obsession in my father.
As a boat owner, what do you think of the old saying, happiest two moments in a boat owner's life are the day they buy the boat and the day they sell the boat?
Well, I guess I'm more sentimental about my boats. I sold a boat that I'd had for 10 years, and I felt almost weepy leaving it. So there's been boats I've been happy to sell. But yeah, I think you can also generate a lot of affection for them. And then when you see them, and so I've sailed past my old boat with my new boat because my old boat's still in Olympia, and I'm so happy that it's in the hands of some guy who takes really good care of it, and he oils all the wood, and the boat just looks great. But I'm going past him in my bigger, faster dream boat, and so
the old girlfriend.
It is the old girlfriend phenomenon. Yeah,
tell us more about these sailors who have more money than good sense, who you've probably seen in person.
I think that a few things about money and sailboats. It's a great way for some people that retired early from .com success and so on to blow that excess cash, because you can get rid of a lot of money in a hurry. And so even just 30 to 40 foot sailboats that are brand new, you can spend $200,000 to $400,000 on them, and if you want fresh new sails to race the following year, there's another $10,000, and so it's an incredible money device. But I guess what I was trying to capture more in this book is kind of the flip side of all that, is that the common people and the poor people that are just in love with or addicted to sailing, and it's a side of them that they just have to deal with, this fact that they have this hobby that many of them can't afford but they can't resist.
Jim Lynch is with us. He's from Olympia, and his latest novel is called Before the Wind, about sailing, about a sailing family. Your book is set in so many familiar places. The Johansson family's first shipyard is on the Ship Canal here in Seattle. The mother teaches at Ballard High School. The scenes of sailing are on Puget Sound. What was the picture you wanted to reveal about our region's boat culture?
I wanted to try to get across the richness and the fascination that I have with this boating culture. I think it's a big chunk of the way we are here. I mean, with Lake Washington and Puget Sound, we have a geography that's unlike just about anywhere else. And Puget Sound, stretching up into the San Juans and into Canada, this whole inland sea is considered one of the great boating wonderlands of the world. And yet, I think those of us that don't actually get out on boats, for them, it's more a part of the scenery. But I think it's actually kind of inherent in our whole culture and style of people that we have out here. We have the mountaineering crowd, we have the downhill skiing crowd, and we have your boating crowd, and they create a certain kind of personality, a certain kind of person, in my opinion. If you spend enough time on the water, you get a certain confidence about your own ability to survive in awkward predicaments, because you run into them out there. And you also have just a different vantage on where it is that we live, because when you're just seeing this area from the land, you're kind of missing one of the main angles of it. And one of the things that's always fascinated me is just that you go through the Ship Canal, you go through the locks, and it's almost like you enter the rest of the world, because suddenly you're in salt water, and from there you can go anywhere. And I just remember being kind of dazzled by that as a kid, that the whole world opened up.
There's so much anxiety, particularly in Seattle, about the wealth that's coming here, the tech people who are coming here, and the concern that kind of the things that make this place special are going away because of it. Do you think there's any threat to that when it comes to boating culture, when it comes to kind of the hardscrabble families like the Johansson that are basically getting by?
I think there is reason to be concerned about that, and that's also kind of part of why I like setting a big chunk of the novel down in Olympia, because Olympia is maybe economically and so on kind of like Seattle was 30, 40 years ago, in that the houses cost half as much, and the boating culture down there is far more affordable, and it's kind of a peaceful old Puget Sound. There's no freighters, there's no ferry boat waves, and yet we've got our own kind of boating mecca down there as well. And I think that it has changed pretty dramatically since when I was a kid, when we used to go up into the San Juan Islands, and now all the boats are considerably larger. You know, the average size of a boat is considerably larger. And you go farther up into Canada, up into Desolation Sound, and then it's just kind of yachts, and then a few hardscrabble boats mixed in. Yeah, it's definitely changing.
I'm talking to novelist Jim Lynch. His new book is called Before the Wind. And indeed, the Johansson family starts out on the ship canal here in Seattle, and there have been some tensions about the working waterfront and working things along there with a competition from others who'd like to use that waterfront for other reasons. And the son ends up at a shipyard down in Olympia. Is there a nod here to kind of the pressures which have been on working class businesses along the ship canal and places like that?
I have kind of a nostalgic love of the older ship canal. And I love the ship canal. I just think it's such a intriguing body of water to pass through. I like it being a working waterfront. I like the fact that you still have the fishing boats down in Ballard and the fishing vessels kind of lodge together as these rusting edifices downtown. I don't want it to see it become a waterfront of luxury yachts.
The novel arc is about this race, an actual race called the Swiftsure Yacht Race. It's a big deal for sailors here in the Pacific Northwest. Why does the race matter to you?
Well, Swiftsure has always just kind of hung out there as the name of the biggest race around. So if you were into sailing, the next question was, have you ever raced in Swiftsure? It's kind of like if you're into mountaineering and you haven't climbed Mount Rainier, you know, what are your credentials kind of thing? I always thought that if I was going to have a sailing novel, the crescendo of the novel might come into play during Swiftsure. And it's an intriguing race because it starts in Victoria, so it's got this nice international component to it. And so Canadian and American boats, there's about 150 of them that race out these days. And you head out into the Pacific and come around and race back. And it's an overnight race. And so it's got a lot of potential volatility to it, and you can deal with surprisingly high winds. So it has some natural built-in dramatic potential that I couldn't resist.
You've sailed the Swiftsure?
I have, just once a couple of years ago as research for this book, yeah.
Not going to do it again?
Well, no, I'd be happy to do it again, but it was somewhat torturous, though. We got becalmed for about 4 hours where we traveled 100 yards in 4 hours, which kind of lacked the thrill. And you really want to pick who you're on a boat with when you hit a lull.
And as you point out, it's not a powerboat race, and sometimes the wind dies out because you're subject to the wind, so the race gets very slow.
Right, and then when it gets really really slow, the lightest boats do extraordinarily well, and so you watch them just drifting past you, and it can be altogether exasperating.